news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Based on the actions of the federal government, you'd think that COVID-19 had been eradicated in the U.S. Make no mistake, it hasn't. In fact, the latest numbers are really disturbing. Iowa, Kansas, and New Mexico are among many places far from New York that are seeing scary trends as new outbreaks emerge. New confirmed daily infections in the U.S. exceed 20,000, and deaths per day are well over 1,000. And public health officials are warning that the failure to flatten the curve and drive down the infection rate could lead to many more deaths. Perhaps tens of thousands, as people are allowed to venture out and businesses reopen. Donald Trump announced Tuesday that the fight against the coronavirus pandemic was going well enough to start winding down the White House Coronavirus Task Force in the coming weeks, saying that the task force would be replaced with another unspecified advisory group as the country moves into the, quote, next stage of the battle, including restarting the economy. Trump made those remarks during a very political visit to an Arizona medical mask factory where he refused to wear a mask. While he was touring the factory and the TV cameras were rolling, Paul McCartney's Live and Let Die started blasting from the PA system. But wait, there's breaking news. On Wednesday morning, in a series of tweets, Donald Trump said that the coronavirus task force will continue indefinitely with its focus on safety and opening up our country again, adding, we may add or subtract people to it as appropriate. While in Arizona, Trump emerged from his Fox bubble to sit for an interview with ABC's David Muir, who most definitely did not rise to the occasion. As CNN's Brian Stelter wrote, quote, the interview came as the U.S. death toll passed 71,000. It came as White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett said the April jobs report could show an unemployment rate of 20%. And it came as news emerged that the Trump administration was phasing out the coronavirus task force, despite evidence the virus is still ravaging the country. It also came as Trump spent the preceding day unhinged on Twitter. He rage-tweeted about George Conway as a deranged loser and moonface, floated a murder conspiracy theory about Joe Scarborough, denounced the fake news lamestream media doing everything possible to hurt and disparage our country, and took time out of his day to congratulate a Fox News host for his ratings. Stelter continued, Muir's interview was an opportunity to prosecute Trump on these issues and his conduct amid the crisis. It was an opportunity to ask him important questions and hold his feet to the fire in a way that isn't done on Fox and can't be done in the briefing room. But Muir missed. The interview didn't elicit any big news. Muir didn't challenge Trump in any meaningful way. And worst of all, he allowed the president to float brazen misinformation with no pushback to his 10 million plus viewers. In other important news, Dr. Rick Bright, the former top U.S. vaccine official, filed a whistleblower complaint on Tuesday saying he was reassigned for trying to, quote, prioritize science and safety over political expediency, and for opposing the use of the drug hydroxychloroquine that Trump was pushing as a treatment for COVID-19. Dr. Bright led the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARDA, from 2016 until last month when he was moved to a smaller role at the NIH. In his complaint, Bright said he started warning in January that the U.S. was unprepared to respond to a coronavirus outbreak, but the Department of Health and Human Services leaders responded with, quote, indifference, which then developed into hostility. One of his lawyers said Dr. Bright's removal from BARDA was retaliation, plain and simple. Dr. Bright is scheduled to testify May 14th before a House subcommittee. When he was asked before leaving for Arizona Tuesday why he's preventing Dr. Fauci from testifying before a House committee investigating the pandemic response, Trump actually said,
because the House is a setup. The House is a bunch of Trump haters. They put every Trump hater on the committee, the same old stuff. They frankly want our situation to be unsuccessful, which means death,
Trump then said that Fauci would appear at a hearing next week on the coronavirus response before a committee in the Republican-led Senate. Of course he did. And then there's this. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was hospitalized at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore on Tuesday with an infection caused by a gallstone. She underwent a non-surgical treatment for a benign gallbladder condition and was, according to the Supreme Court, resting comfortably. The 87-year-old Ginsburg is expected to remain in the hospital for a day or two. She sought care after being diagnosed Monday, but participated in the court's telephone arguments on Monday and Tuesday, and she will call in Wednesday to participate in oral arguments as well. Somebody wrap her in bubble wrap, please. Congressman John Ratcliffe of Texas is Donald Trump's nominee to be his next intelligence chief. His confirmation hearing began Tuesday when he promised that he would speak truth to power. Yeah. Ratcliffe said he would resist attempts by anyone, including Trump, to get him to tweak intelligence for partisan purposes, saying he would provide intelligence that, quote, will not be altered or impacted by outside influence. Democrats questioned Ratcliffe on his experience, noting that he withdrew last summer shortly after his nomination, following criticism that he embellished his resume and accused a whistleblower of making false statements about Trump's controversial phone call last year with the president of Ukraine. The confirmation hearing was the first to be held under the coronavirus lockdown. Hey, New Yorkers, the New York State Democratic presidential primary is back on. A federal judge granted an injunction related to a lawsuit brought by ex-Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang against the State Board of Elections. Last week, Democrats on the board voted to cancel New York's primary due to coronavirus fears. They also decided to remove from the ballot all the candidates who had suspended their campaigns. Since that left only Joe Biden, the board claimed the election would be moot anyway. But this judge's ruling means the election will happen on June 23rd, and all of those candidates' names will be restored to the ballot. Many states, including New York, have postponed presidential voting to stem the spread of COVID-19, and some have pushed to expand voting by mail.
Say live and let die.
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.